In Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, if you did a study on the fruit of the Spirit, and you went down to verse 22, he said, "The fruit of the Spirit is love," amen, "and joy and peace and long-suffering," and so on. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is this. One way that we walk in the Spirit is we walk in the love of God. As a matter of fact, over in the book of Ephesians, he says, "But be ye followers," or mimickers, or imitators, if you will, "of God, as dear children." Children of God are children of love. Children of God who are children of love must walk in the example of the Father's love. He would never tell you to walk in love if he didn't furnish you the ability to walk in it. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in all of our hearts. Thank God. His love is in you. And so he says, "Be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us." Amen. Now, to walk in love, we must believe in the love of God. And to walk in love, we must receive the love of God. You know, John, in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 16, he's talking about just that fact. Believing, having faith in the love that God cherishes toward us. He says, "And we know and understand and recognize and are conscious of by observation, by experience, and believe." Everyone say, "and believe." We believe and adhere to and put faith in and rely on the love God cherishes for us. Amen. So there's a twofold thing here in believing and receiving this wonderful, glorious love. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But how many of you know you can't walk in love toward others until you're fully aware of just how much he loves you? You know, Jesus spoke of that in John 17:23. He said, "I in them and thou in me."
That's right.
Amen? "That the world may be perfect in one and may know that you have sent me." And, now notice here, "and has loved them." Them is talking about us.
Yeah.
"And has loved them as much as you have loved me." Woo, glory to God. I don't know about you, but that just sends a thrill down in my spirit. That's telling you and I that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Woo. What kind of love is that? It's a kind of love that nothing can separate us from. It's the kind of love that makes us more than conquerors. It's the kind of love that casts us out fear. It's the kind of love that love never fails. Oh, praise his holy name for the love of God. Amen. And so we have known and believed. So we believe in this love in two ways, as I said before, by believing the love that God holds for us. But listen to this. Number two, we believe the love, secondly, by believing and laying hold of all that love has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Woo. He's your abundant provider.
Yes,
and you could think about and number just some of the things that he's provided for you in Christ Jesus. Is healing part of your redemption?
Yes.
How about righteousness?
Yes.
How about walking in divine favor, like we talked about last week? How about living in abundance?
Yes.
Thank God there is no lack. For love has supplied all your need according to his glorious riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Love loves you so much that he doesn't want you to have any lack in your life. No deficiencies in your heart. No deficiencies in your mind. No deficiencies in your body. And how about this? No deficiencies in your cupboard. No deficiencies in your wallet. Amen? I'm telling you, God is love, and he is faithful, and he is our provider. Amen. So number one, we've talked about his love for us. Now number two, how about our love for him? How about our love for him? You know, Jesus said something very revealing. He said in Mark 12, 30 and 31, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And how about this? And with all your strength. Amen. Amen. He said, this is the first commandment. And the second commandment is like namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
What you talking about?
Amen. That's right. Love your nearby. You know, this God kind of loving you worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look at your neighbor sitting next to you and say, I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you and I'll never be able to love our neighbor as we love ourselves until we come into contact with the revelation of how much he loves us. When you know how much he loves us, we can start liking ourselves and loving ourselves. Therefore, you can love your neighbor as yourself. We're commanded to love. You know, I think it's John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man loves me, what will he do? If a man loves me, he'll come to church every now and then. No, he doesn't say that. I'm not going to harp on that. No, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, that word keep there basically means do. You see, we're not just to be hearers of the word, but we're to be doers thereof. So if we really love him, we will hear what he says and we will do what he says. We will keep his words. But he didn't stop there. And my Father will love him and will come unto him, and I will make my abode with him. Whew. You welcome the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost when you keep his commandments and when you keep his word. It's a very welcoming sign to them to come and manifest themselves in your life. How many of you could use him manifesting himself in your life? He will make his abode with you. He will dwell with you. Amen. You know, I like how John says it. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, his commandments can be acted upon. They're not something that are hard to bear. You can walk in love. So our love, number one, his love for us. Number two, our love for others. And then, praise the Lord. Our love for God. And then number three, our love for others. Amen. Our love for others. Amen. Look at John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. John 13, verse 34 and 35. He said, a new suggestion. I want to see if you're still awake. This is not something he's suggesting. This is something he's commanding. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another if you agree on everything. No, no, no. He said, that you love one another as what? As I have loved you, that you also do what? Love one another. It is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. What we need to understand is this: walking in love is not based on your feelings. It is an act of obedience to God. It's not an option. It is a commandment. And it is to be our lifestyle. Now notice the result of this in verse 35. Would you read with me, please? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. What is this saying? It is saying this, that the first evidence that we are a child of God is walking in love. Walking in the God kind of love. Walking in the God kind of love. You know, it requires renewing your mind continually. In other words, it's very important to understand and to know how love acts. How love behaves. How love speaks. How love forgives. And by renewing our mind to these truths, oh, glory to God, it'll make you irresistible in life. It'll make you a success in life. How many know God wants you to succeed? Yes. Hallelujah. Here's what Mark Hankin says. I like him. He said this, if we're not thinking the way love thinks, it won't be long before we're not acting the way love acts. So a continual renewing your mind. How do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by the Word. In other words, you got to look at what the Word says about walking in love. And to me, there is no greater expose on walking in love than 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, if you don't have an Amplified Classic version, need make sure you get one of those. Because the Amplified version amplifies and explains in a greater detail how this love acts, how this love speaks. And so I want to begin in verse 4. And let's take a look for a few moments this morning. Verse 4 says, love endures long. Somebody says, well, that disqualifies me. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now, one way that you can personalize this and say this like this. Say it with me. I endure long.
I endure long.
I am patient.
I am patient.
And I am very, very kind.
I am very, very kind.
See, we need to be kind to everyone. Amen. Saint and sinner alike. Be kind. Be loving. So he says, it endures long. It's patient and kind. Notice this next one. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not vainglorious and it does not display itself haughtily. The Passion Translation, let me just read it to you. I like how he says it here. He said, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. And it goes on to say, it refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else.
Yes.
Oh, really? That happened to you? Praise the Lord. Poor me. What about me? Get your mind off yourself and start rejoicing with those who rejoice. And then in your heart, you should be saying, yeah, me too. Amen? So God is looking for people that will rejoice when other people succeed in life. So it refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. I think that speaks for itself, doesn't it? Back to verse 5 in the Amplified. Here's characteristics of the love of God. Verse 5 again says, it is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude. Amen.
Yes.
Love opens the door for his wife. Otherwise, you have to pay $50. I know a couple just like that. No, love is kind. It's not rude. It's not unmannerly. And you know something else love doesn't do? Love doesn't interrupt. You know, you may be talking to somebody in church and having an intimate conversation. Come on, come right up and try to eavesdrop on your conversation. That's rude. It's unmannerly. Say it with me, I'm not rude.
I'm not unmannerly.
I don't interrupt. And you know, when you're having a conversation with someone, be all there. You know, don't be daydreaming. Don't think about how the Warriors are going to beat the Rockets later. Be all there. Be there. Be quick to listen. Amen? Listen intently to what that person is saying to you. And don't be so quick to give that person a piece of your mind. And here's another thing about communication. When someone is telling you about something that they're going through, don't immediately jump to what you've been through. Now, there's a time for that, but there's also a time not for that. A time to listen. Amen. And Brenda's down there in the front row saying, amen, Pastor, preach this. Every time I do this, I've got three fingers pointed back at myself. It's not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It's not rude or unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Now, notice this next part. Love. God's love in you. God's love in you. Listen to this. Does not insist on its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Now, self-seeking is just another way of saying it's not selfish. Keith Moore, many years ago, had a word from the Lord, and I love it, and I'm going to tell you what he said. I believe the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said this: the selfish life is the empty life. The self-centered life is the miserable life. The giving life is the fulfilling life. And the unselfish life is the satisfying life. Ooh, Lord, you want to have joy every day of your life? Get your mind off yourself. Get your mind off only your own interests and put them on the interests and desires and thoughts of other people. Good preaching, Pastor Mark. Now, a message like this may not cause you to shout and run the aisles, but you'll shout later if you live it and if you'll act on it. Amen? Now, notice with me in verse 5, and we're going to center in on this for a few moments today. It is not touchy. It is not fretful. It is not, here it is, resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. One of the greatest enemies in walking in love are things like resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the door through which the devil enters. Someone said this: where strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So nip strife in the bud. Don't give it any fuel. Because when we are in strife, whether we realize it or not, we're opening the door. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to close every door and make sure that our walk with God and others is secure. Amen? Dad Hagen said it this way. He said, anytime you're feeling mistreated, you know that the devil's working on you. One step out of love is a step into sin. And the step out of love is a step out of God's realm. Amen. You and I, we're called to walk in the miraculous. Amen. And we're expecting the miraculous. But we want to make sure that this love base is covered. That this is a foundation in our life and in our walk with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Our safety lies with staying in God's realm. Now here's a big statement. Our love walk is connected to our health. Our love walk is connected to our abundance. Our love walk is connected to our protection. How many of you have faith today? How many of you want your faith to work? We want our faith operative. We want it ready to be released and fully functional, if you will, and fully operational. And in order for that to happen, we need to understand what Galatians 5, 6 says. Galatians 5 says that your faith works by love. Your faith will work by love. Twofold, a revelation of His love for you, but also your love for others. So if you want your faith to be operative and fully functional, make sure that you're walking in the love of God. Amen. Stephen Dufresne said this. He said, love is the fuel to faith. Love is the fuel to faith. He said, faith is a great force, but without love, it goes nowhere. And I know I'm quoting a lot of people today, but Dad Hagen, who to me was a spiritual giant and still is in my thinking, he said this. He said, I count more on my love walk to keep me healed than I do my confession of faith.
Amen.
That's a big statement. Why? Because he knew that stepping outside of love was an open door to sickness and disease. Ed Dufresne said this. If you've got a fighting spirit, and you're all, how many of you know where to fight the good fight of faith?
Yeah.
But we're not to fight one another. He said this. If you've got a fighting spirit, always fighting other people, it will catch up with you, and you will have physical problems. So how important is keeping the commandment of love? It is vital. Our life and health depend on it. It is, Henry Drummond said this, it is our greatest challenge, but it is also our greatest reward. Come on, let's be honest about it. How many of you have ever been challenged about walking in love? I mean, before you get home, you might have the opportunity to act on this word. It is our greatest challenge. The devil will challenge you with this. Oh, that person looked at me the wrong way in church. I'm going to avoid them. I'm going to sit on the other side. There's no other side in church. There's one side. It's His side. It's love's side. Amen. It's our greatest challenge. But it's also our greatest reward. And when you think about the word reward, you think about benefits. So there are benefits then of walking in and living in this God kind of love. Walk in love, walk in divine health. Walk in love, walk in divine protection. Walk in love, walk in divine prosperity. Walk in love and have days of heaven here on the earth. Are those benefits or are those benefits? How many want the benefits of walking in love? Glory to God. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I realize that God can never bless us on the lines of being hard-hearted, critical, or unforgiving. He said this, "This will hinder faith quicker than anything will." He says, "I believe there are a great many people who would be healed, but they're harboring things in their heart." And then the apostle of faith says, "Let those things go." I saw this earlier today. Not forgiving is like drinking poison and experiencing and expecting the other person to suffer. So what forgiveness does is forgiveness frees the forgiver. I want you to get that. Would you say that with me one time? Forgiveness frees the forgiver. And it is a major key for healing. It's a major key for answers that you've been seeking for, some of you, decades. Because forgiveness wipes the slate clean. And makes those things that have been unclear in your mind and in your soul and opens the door for clarity. Yes. We could say it this me, walk, say it this way, walk in love, walk in clarity. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I know in my own life, you know, whenever I've harbored unforgiveness or resentment or bitterness, I mean, just for a second. I mean, the enemy attacks the soul. The enemy attacks the mind. That's why we need to get rid of it right away. Amen. And don't wait to let it go. Let it go now. 1 Peter 3:10 says this, "Is he that will love life." How many of you love life? Yes. "He that will love life and see good days." Yes. Amen. Yeah. "Let him talk about everybody." No, no, no. "Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." A sick day isn't a good day. A broke day isn't a good day. A troubled day isn't a good day. If we're to love life and should see good days, we must guard our heart and watch what we say with our mouths. Psalms 141 verse 3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips." If your faith isn't working, mountains aren't moving. In Mark 11:25, here's what Jesus said. "And when you stand praying, forgive." If what? "If you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Amen? Amen. So what is having an ought? Having an ought is a grudge. It's having a grudge against someone for any reason. The Bible talks to us about being quick to forgive. The longer we wait, the harder it will be to forgive. Are you listening to me? The longer we hold on to bitterness, the deeper that root of bitterness grows. And what I'm saying to you this morning, don't let it grow.
Don't let it grow.
Nip it in the bud. Get rid of it. I said, get rid of it. Now, why is that? Because if we don't get rid of it, it opens the door to the enemy, but also it develops a root in our lives.
Yeah.
A root of what? A root of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is, and verse 15, right around there, talks about that. It says, "See that no man fails to obtain the grace of God, so that no root of bitterness can spring up." And when the root of bitterness springs up, it causes trouble. And by it, the scripture says, many will be defiled. So watch your words. Hold your tongue. Proverbs 21:23 says this, one who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Amen. Amen. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, notice this verse. Are y'all still here?
Yes.
Let's read it together. Verse 32, Ephesians 4, ready, read. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slanders. We're looking, oh, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Verse 31, that's right. Pastor Tom, thank you so much. Let's back up. Okay. Rewind and be kind. That's from the 90s. That was a long time ago. All right, let's read together. Ready, read. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Verse 32. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ. Have you been forgiven?
Yes.
Ooh, glory to God. One preacher said it this way, forgiveness is simply a decision to cancel a debt. Clara Barton, founder of the American Red Cross, was reminded one day of a vicious deed that someone had done to her years before. But she acted as if she had never heard of the incident. One person said, "Don't you remember it?" Her friend asked. "No," Clara said. "I distinctly remember forgetting it." I distinctly remember forgetting it. Billy Graham. How many remember Billy Graham? What a man of God. He said this. In one bold stroke, forgiveness obliterates the past and permits us to enter in the land of new beginnings.
Okay.
Glory to God. So don't get upset with one another. Anybody been upset with another person? I mean, to the degree where you felt like whipping them? Come on, be honest. We've all been there. But you know, the love of Christ constrains you. It'll keep you from throwing that punch. It'll keep you from fiery words against that person. One preacher was really upset with another, and he said, "You know what? I think I'm just going to go whip him." You know, preachers can be as carnal as you. "I think I'm just going to go whip him." An old wise minister said this. He said, "Well, you might be able to whip him all right. You might be able to whip a skunk, but you may not want to. Because when you're finished, you'll smell just like him." Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13:7, and we'll close with this before we receive communion. Have you got anything today? I just want to encourage you. This is a love refresher. It's so vital to our walk with God. Verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7 in the Amplified says, "Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the worst of every person." No. It's ever ready to believe what? The best of every person. These three things in closing will help you to walk in the God kind of love. When you believe the best of every person, number one, love sees the best. Find something good about the person. Look at people through the Father's eyes. Amen? Secondly, where it says love believes the best of every person, simply believe the very best.
Yeah, that's right.
And then thirdly, love speaks the best.
Yeah.
Amen. Walk in love. Mm-hmm. Watch your words. Say this with me real strong today. I will practice,
thinking
and saying
the best
of every person. so that my love can grow and develop, and so that I can be a blessing to other people. Let's all stand up right now and thank God for His word that went forth. Father, we thank You so much. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, we decide to eagerly pursue and acquire this love, and we make it our great quest. Amen. It is our great quest. Praise God. Before we have communion today, I want to invite Brenda to come to the platform, if you would. We're going to serve communion together to you. Amen. But before we do that, maybe your life has been hindered a little bit by some resentments and some bitterness and some things like that. You know, there's no better time to let it go than right now. Than right now. Amen? So what I think we'll do is we'll just pray a corporate prayer. We won't ask for a show of hands. But would you raise a hand toward heaven and place a hand over your heart? And let's pray this together. Say it with me, Heavenly Father. I thank You that You love me. And I love You, sir, with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. Help me by the Holy Spirit to walk in love toward others. Those who I agree with, those who I don't agree with. And I ask You, Father, to release anyone that has ever said words concerning my life that are born out of strife. I let go of any and all unforgiveness. I let go of all bitterness. I release all resentment.
I release all
right now in the name of Jesus. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for the blood applied over my life. Now raise both hands toward heaven and say,
I receive
my strength.
I receive
my protection.
I receive
my restoration.
I receive my abundance.
For You have come that I might have and enjoy life to the full. In abundance until it overflows.
I choose God's way.
Is love's way.
On
my path of life, I choose to walk in the light of the love of Christ.
I walk in the supernatural. I walk in the Spirit.
I will sow love and I will reap love.
I choose
to walk in love
every day of my life.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory,
glory